You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, y'all. Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. ESPN 100.3 FM, the flagship station of the Pelicans, and you can tune in tonight to listen to the first game of the Zion era as the Pelicans take to the court to take on the Atlanta Hawks. I want to say we have five preseason games, Jordan?
Yes, I think it's five preseason
games. So there's not a lot, almost as many as the NFL plays. So you can tune in tonight, hear Todd Graffanini's call on that. Todd's going to join us at 2:15. Huge game in the Superdome yesterday, though, that everybody's still talking about is the Saints. Knock off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Huge win in the NFC South. Always important to win the division games. Saints win at 31-24. If you want to give us your game ball, pat on the back, who needs to have a talk with the coach, give us a call, 800-998-1003. Jordan, how can they get us on Twitter? And you've already got some people tweeting in.
At ESPN Radio NOLA, and we have some responses on Twitter. Saints Truth 44. Teddy gets the game ball. Every single D lineman gets a pat on the back. And Dante Harris needs to have a sit next to coach till the start of the next game.
I can't argue with that.
And then Chuck Biggio, who comes on every Wednesday for our health and fitness segment, he says, pat on the back goes to the O-line. Much better with penalties, and they keep Barrett out of the game. Without penalties, and they keep Barrett out of the game.
I tell you what, both offensive and defensive lines were absolutely outstanding yesterday. The offensive line was much better with the penalties. You can tell there was a lot of attention to detail in the practice in the weeks that week leading up to that game, that Sean addressed that with that team. It was much better. Can still be a little bit better. You would have liked to have seen Alvin Kamara get maybe a few more holes to run through the running game. And I know the Saints haven't really committed to the running game as much as they have in the past. It's more of they're using the short passing game as their running game. And I understand that concept. But the one play that did kind of catch me, and here's your question for Teddy Bridgewater in the locker room. On the play where Alvin Kamara reversed his field in the second half, and he comes back, and Teddy Bridgewater is like out in front of him, and there's three defensive guys coming at him, and I think they were running to the Saints sidelines. Your question for Teddy is, did you hear Sean Payton yell at you to not block anybody? Because he didn't, he could have gotten lit up, because you know if a defensive lineman in a game where you're pretty much beat sees the starting quarterback, they're going to take that shot. They're going to go after him, especially here's a chance we can put the backup quarterback out of the game. I know people are sitting there saying, oh, that stuff doesn't go on. Yes, it does. The guys are out there trying to take the quarterback out. But Teddy wisely just kind of put his hands up like, I give up, and he didn't hit anybody. I was wondering if Sean Payton was yelling at him from the sidelines, hey, don't even think about it, because he didn't block anyone and no damage done. But I think Sean probably had his heart in his hand right, his heart in his throat right there when he saw Teddy thinking about maybe going after somebody and blocking him.
Yeah, I think the whole crowd probably thought the same thing, because he goes down. Now you only have one quarterback. Then now you're the Pittsburgh Steelers that just have one quarterback. So I can see a lot of throats were probably like.
The only thing worse than that I saw, and I don't know if y'all addressed this last week because I didn't get a chance to hear everything, but when the Saints beat the Cowboys and Drew Brees goes running out on the field and he's actually hitting guys on the helmet with the bad hand, I was like, we're going to raise some money for a straitjacket for Drew if he keeps this up, because we do not need you slapping guys in the helmet with the bad hand. I know medical technology's better, but I don't want to see that ever again.
If you watch the pregame warm-up chant with DeMario Davis and Drew Brees, DeMario Davis hands the chant off to Drew Brees to do the 1-2 win for you, the 0-9 chant. And at the end, like, he's ferociously fist bumping his hand throughout the huddle, And then at the very end, he puts his right hand in the air, and everybody just comes piling in on him.
Oh, God.
I'm like, what are you
– I didn't see that.
What are you doing?
I didn't even see that.
Use your left hand.
Thank you very much, because at least when he injured the hand against the Rams, he put his helmet in his right hand basically as a reminder, do not high-five anyone, do not shake hands with that hand. And but then now I guess the adrenaline, you see the intensity on Drew's face even when he's sitting on the bench. He's chomping at the bit, waiting to go in. It's like he's biting his bottom lip. And it's like, I guess it just overwhelms him and he doesn't realize what he's doing, but there's too much money invested for him to have a setback.
Maybe he should practice holding the clipboard, because he might be holding it if he peeps out winning.
I don't think they do a clipboard anymore. I think they have
The iPad.
The iPad, yeah.
Hold the iPad while Teddy brings home a Super Bowl.
But what is your best guess? Because, look, I originally, when this happened, I thought Drew was going to be out for 10 weeks because they were saying 6 weeks recovery. I'm not aware of this new technology where they go in and put tape over the ligament and it gives you stability. I know in the past, this injury, you were not allowed to pick up a football for 6 weeks. Well, if you can't pick up a football for 6 weeks, then the strength in your shoulder is gone, and you have to rebuild that. That would take at least 2 to 3 weeks to rebuild that before he could come on. It's 2.5 weeks, and Jordan brought up the point of there's video of him not throwing a tennis ball, throwing a football. Even though it's a smaller football, he's already throwing a football. We're talking 2.5 weeks after the surgery.
What year is it?
2019.
Medical. That's all it's. I mean,
I know I'm old.
People have babies that go home the next day. I mean, my first heart surgery till my last heart surgery was like night and day. I mean, so when people
are you serious?
Yeah, so when people tell me about medical, oh, I can't believe you came back. Hello. Pretty soon you're going to have a surgery. Like, you could probably have an open heart surgery and go home the next day.
On the field.
On the field.
I had a hip replacement, and I was stunned that the nurse comes in and says, okay, get up. You know, the physical therapist is there, and they make you get up and walk on a leg that was just cut off. I mean, it cut the bone out and put a fake hip in, and they're like, okay, get up and walk. I was like, are you kidding? And so I understand the technology, but this is just mind-boggling that they could put a piece of tape over a ligament that stabilizes it and helps the healing process. When do you think Drew does come back? Do you think they, because of this start 3-0 with Teddy, do you think they kind of push it back to the after the bye and the Atlanta game?
I think after the bye. We were talking when he first got hurt. If it was 3-3 coming in and then you're by a bye week, you're definitely, I still think he comes after the bye.
What is your best feeling of when you think the doctors may say, okay, you could go back in and play? You think
I think it's probably then as well.
Because I really could see the Saints maybe starting to use him in a role of, okay, let's let him have a series here and there to kind of just have a series and then come out and let Teddy go back in.
Yeah, let's throw that scenario. Let's say that he comes back in and Drew struggles. Do you pull him?
Well, that's kind of why you put him in. But I'm just saying,
let's say he struggles. Let's say
Getting pulled.
The zip of the ball is not there, maybe because of the injury or stuff like that. Do you pull him?
No, but let's say the Saints win these next three games against the Jaguars, the Bears, and then the Cardinals, and they go into the bye. I mean, with Atlanta, how Atlanta's playing right now, do you even put Drew Brees back in, or do you go another week? Just to make sure that
after the Atlanta?
Because if you throw the bye in there, you're talking about 4 weeks of more recovery. So that puts him at almost 7 weeks.
The Bucs.
Because this is three now. And then you would be, so you got to figure he's going to be back on the field for the Bucs. That's the latest.
Yeah.
But I think you start easing him in against Atlanta.
You see, I don't see quarterbacks getting ease in the NFL.
Yeah,
I mean, you start.
Yeah, but you also got to realize this is a situation that not a lot of teams have ever been in, where you've got your backup quarterback playing really well, and the quarterback, most of the times when the starter is out, it's like, how fast can we get him back? We can't wait to get him back. We're trying to hold on and keep our playoff hopes alive. Now the Saints are trying to hold on to see if they can.
Let's call Drew Bledsoe, see what the hope is.
After that bye, you have the Falcons, you have the Buccaneers, you have the Panthers, and then you have the Falcons. So that's four divisional opponents back to back to back to back. So I don't know if you want to start Drew Brees at that Falcons game to just, you know, since that Falcons defense isn't the best, maybe you could get Drew Brees, I guess if Raphael, there's no easing him into the NFL, maybe that is your best game to ease him back into the NFL.
Oh, I agree. If you're going to bring him in, bring him back to the Falcons, who's probably going to be struggling really, really bad.
Right.
I don't see that. I mean, granted, they played the Cardinals this week. I mean, but they just got their first W, so maybe they're coming off an emotional high that they can probably steal. Because that game's in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Atlanta's in Arizona this week.
So. Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people talked about the schedule being really difficult, and I didn't see it at the beginning of the year, and I don't see it now because Atlanta, I thought, was going to be two of the tougher games, and that's a dumpster fire. I don't know what has happened over there, but, I mean, that was a beatdown by the Houston Texans. That was an absolute beatdown. So I almost see a team that's about to quit on their head coach if they haven't already, because I didn't see that game. But I've got to believe that team is a dumpster fire, and that's probably two wins that the Saints we may have thought was a tougher game early. So I don't see the difficulty in this schedule considering, I mean, yeah, the Colts are a little bit better than we thought when Andrew Luck kind of unexpectedly
retired.
Some people
say they're the best team in the AFC right now is the Colts.
You think they're that good?
Both the Lions are really impressive, offense and defense.
Look, I know they had a lot of injuries last night, and they shut down the Chiefs in Kansas City.
I mean, if you just looked at the Colts' defensive line, they got to the quarterback numerous times, and they virtually took Patrick. They did their best taking Patrick Mahomes out of that game. I mean, they got him down to the ground a couple times, and then the Colts' defense also pushed the Chiefs' O-line back on Patrick Mahomes. You saw Mahomes going out the game on a fourth down with that ankle injury, and he suffered a few hobble off the field a couple times on a couple drives.
You know, and that's that exact reason is why I think the Saints might be a little cautious, because of seeing how Kansas City's outlook on this season changes drastically if Pat Mahomes goes down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the Colts' rest of the schedule. They're Denver's in their backyard this week. Then they go to Pittsburgh. Then they go to, or Miami comes to their town. Jacksonville. I mean, their schedule is pretty light.
I mean, this could be the dark horse of the NFL right now, the Colts. To make a serious playoff push.
But I mean, looking at that schedule, how many difficult games do you see the Saints having left on the schedule?
I mean, after the Bears, I mean, you have, I want to say, five or six straight weeks. That until after Atlanta, when you face the 49ers, if the 49ers are doing what they've been doing the past couple weeks, then I mean that's the game that you're going to mark as your hardest game for the rest of the season. Or if the Colts continue doing what they're doing, you have the 49ers and then the Colts, and then those are your only two real challenges.
The two last road games, Tennessee and Carolina.
They're going to be tough. And I'll tell you this:
back to back road games coming off the game against the Colts.
And if
if you could seal the division or you seal the NFC, I mean, those really don't matter. So,
and if Cam Newton's back quarterback in Carolina, I feel a lot better about that game.
If you're a Saints fan, you're praying that they bring back Cam Newton.
I have been for weeks. All right, that'll do it for this segment. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about the LSU Tigers' impressive win over Utah State and first-round quarterback projected.
It was Utah State.
First-round projected quarterback Jordan Love. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, is going to join us for that. And we appreciate the sponsorship of 5-11 by Karl Malone. Purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. They're located 6601 Veterans Boulevard across from Lafreniere Park. The best class pants such as Apex and Defender jeans. You got to check this place out. Tremendous quality in the product. I was over there. Customer in there told me he is a lifelong testimonial for 5-11. Says he buys a pair of pants and his friends at work buy 5 to 6 pairs of jeans, and he's still on his first pair of pants. At 5-11 by Karl Malone. 6601 Veterans. You can't miss it. It's right there where the Godfather's Pizza used to be right across from the entrance to Lafreniere Park. Quick break. When we come back, Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, joins us. Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
LaFouche Ford has been part of our community for years. They have stayed committed to giving you great deals, competitive parts and pricing, and service after the sale. Through the years, they have supported your kids, your grandkids, your schools, your churches, and even your events. So help them to continue to support you. And remember, before you buy, give LaFouche Ford a try. Wishing all of our area football teams the best season ever.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
As a teacher and administrator, Sandy Holloway believes parents deserve to know how well their children are learning. And taxpayers deserve to know how well their money is being spent. That's why Sandy Holloway supports the state's A through F grading and performance system for our schools. Sandy Holloway for Bessie. Leadership. Experience. Progress. Vote Sandy Holloway, Bessie District 3. Paid for by Louisiana Charter Schools and Action PAC.
Are you ready to check out the latest innovations from 5.11 by Karl Malone? 5.11 is committed to making the best gear used by those who demand the most. A large selection of award-winning packs and bags and industry-leading pant designs. 5.11's got you covered. Try our best-in-class pants like Apex or Defender jeans, or walk in a pair of our most comfortable boots that perform in the harshest environments. Build the ultimate bug-out bag with our tactical bags and accessories at 5.11 by Karl Malone. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Always be ready.
A strong defense wins the game. Don't wait for rising water. Call Associated Pump and Supply today. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs, Associated Pump and Supply has your water solution with 30 years plus experience. Our staff is ready to deliver, install, repair, or retrofit your pumping equipment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call 985-851-7077 or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholls State Colonels.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with live music on Friday nights. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Quick update on Major League Baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays have struck back, hit the Astros with a three spot. They're in the bottom of the third, and Tampa Bay trying to stave off elimination. They lead the Astros and former LSU Tiger Alex Bregman 3-1. Tampa loses. They're gone, and the Astros advance. I want to bring in the voice of the LSU Tigers now. Chris Blair joins us after LSU really manhandled Utah State in that game 42-6. Utah State would a lot of people projecting quarterback Jordan Love to be drafted in the first round. And LSU defense gives the performance of the year so far. Chris, we thank you for joining us today. How was that defensive performance? They looked what we've been waiting to see all year long.
You know, you hear it said, first off, Jay, thanks for having me on, but you hear it said a lot when you play your final non-conference game. You hear coaches, more so the media, say final non-conference tune-up. I think coaches have gone away from that phrase simply because it sounds doesn't sound like they're putting enough importance on that game. But I think in this particular instance against Utah State, it was a solid tune-up for LSU, and I think it's because you wanted to see what the running game could produce if you had to run or wanted to run at will, and also defensively a chance to take on what I think is a very good quarterback in Jordan Love. Got a good group of receivers, and I thought that, you know, because the game was dominated by defense and for the most part offensively, while Joe Burrow and the receivers had their typical day at the office, it was great to see the Tigers dedicate themselves to lining up and running the football and using all four running backs at their disposal, and all four really had big moments in the game. So for that reason, it's always great to win, big 42-6, but I think the Tigers took away a lot more than just the lopsided win when it comes to how their defense has played. I mean, you hold Jordan Love to 50% completions. He only attempted 30 passes on the day. You pick up two sacks, something that the Tigers are trying to improve in. Again, without, you know, a bulk of their star front seven players, they were able to get two sacks. And then you're starting to see the secondary come into their own. They take away three interceptions on the day against a guy last year in Jordan Love that only threw six all season. The Tigers, with their three, put his number to eight here in 2019. So I think when you really look at how that game unfolded, you got to give a thumbs up, two thumbs up, really, to the way the Tigers played, especially on defense.
You know, Chris, the way they ran the football Saturday, you could see the commitment to the running game from LSU this week. Is that more of the evolution of this offense where kind of Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger kind of saying to Todd Grantham at Florida, hey, you've watched us throw the ball all over the field, now deal with this. Now we're going to run the football. Or was that maybe maybe them saying, let's try to help our defense out a little bit, shorten the game a little bit, let's get our running game going? Do you think this is just something that maybe they – or is it just the evolution of this offense?
Well, I think mainly it's the evolution of this offense. I mean, I think your byproduct of that is exactly what you said. It certainly gives the Florida defensive rooms now some more to have to plan and work around going into this matchup. But I think it had a lot to do with it, you know, trying to show what the Tigers can do. I mean, I say it all the time. When you hear Coach O's press conference at the end of the 2016 season when they made him the full-time coach, I mean, he said, I want an offense that's 50-50. Now, sometimes he's talking about being able to call a play or the play calls in an individual game being 50-50. But to me, you know, being around him and talking to him, I think it's more about being able to do both and being able to do so very effectively. And, you know, the passing game, the teams they played in the first 4 weeks were giving them some options in the passing game, and goodness knows they made the most of it. With the completion percentage Joe Burrow's had, the number of yards that he and receivers have put up, and the points that the Tigers are averaging on the season, proof's in the pudding. But I think it not only is for something for Florida to consider, but I think a lot of it also had to do with LSU, building some confidence for that offensive line to be asked to block to establish the run game. It also built some confidence for the running backs. I mean, it's a career season high, rather, 248 yards for LSU on the day. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, another good day. You know, he's had two fumbles now in the last two games, and that's something that you want to kind of get rid of because he's normally very sure-handed. But you saw Ty Davis-Price and John Emery, as well as Chris Curry, run the ball hard and have some positive gains in the running game. So I think all of the reasons you laid out, plus the fact that it's a confidence builder for this team, Coach O wants to be able to run when he wants to run, throw when they want to throw, not be forced by any defense to have to do one or the other. So for me, I think that's the most exciting thing about coming away from Saturday's win. Yes, you win 42-6. Yes, you move to 5-0. But more importantly, I think we all found out that LSU, when they want to run the football, have the ability to do so. Now they're going to have to take it up another level against probably, arguably, certainly one of the best defenses in the country in all phases of the game.
Talking to Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. And Chris, when I look at a quarterback, I always look into his eyes because that tells me everything I want to see. When you look into Joe Burrow's eyes during the game with his helmet on, you see a kid that the game has just slowed down for. He's just in total command out there. And in looking at the mock drafts coming up for this draft in the NFL, I've yet to see Joe Burrow in the first round. Saw Jordan Love in almost every one of them from Utah State. There was no doubt in my mind looking at that game, and I understand that Joe Burrow is not going up against the LSU defense, and Jordan Love was, but in no way, shape, or form could I say Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Joe Burrow, and I don't understand why he's not getting that kind of credit from the national media. Is it going to take Joe doing this in the SEC when people finally start giving him the respect that he deserves?
I believe so, you know, and it is unfortunate because I think incredible job last season when you consider he landed in Baton Rouge in June and then had to win over the locker room, then had to learn the playbook, and then got out there and led the Tigers to a great 2018 campaign. Then you come into this season and everybody expected him to take a step forward. I don't know that any of us anticipated because of the offensive philosophy change that he would take a giant leap forward. But you look at his numbers from Saturday, 27 of 38, threw for 344 yards, five passing touchdowns. When you look at the record book now for touchdowns in a game at LSU, he's at the top of the list. He set the record with 6 against Vanderbilt. Now he's tied in second place again with 5 in a game. So, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. But I think what will eventually start to move him up the draft board is, A, winning big games and taking care of the football and his offense and staying proficient against very good defenses. And he's going to have his chance to do so this Saturday against Florida, obviously later on against Auburn, later on against Alabama and the like. So that will kind of take care of itself. But to me, what stood out, Jay, was on Saturday, to open that game, you saw maybe 2 or 3 of the worst throws Joe Burrow certainly has made in 2019. And in a lot of ways, maybe could argue some of the worst throws he's made in his two or season plus here at LSU. What I love about Joe Burrow, when you look at him on the field, is he's unflappable because, as you say, the game has slowed down for him. He doesn't get fazed by anything. So first couple of throws, he misfires. After that, he goes on to go 27 of 38, nearly 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, even through the interception early. And it doesn't seem to bother him. If you're looking for a guy to lead your team, whether it's high school, college, or even in the pro ranks, you need a guy who can stand in there and realize the next play is the play to make. You can't do anything about what happened before. And I don't think there's anybody in the country better at doing that than Joe Burrow.
I want to flip it, Chris, to the other side of the ball on the defensive side. Just watching that game, were there two guys named Patrick Queen out there Saturday?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder who you were going to talk about when you wanted to talk about defense. And I believe you're right when you talk about Patrick Queen. I mean, he was sensational. Led the team with 6 tackles, had 3 tackles for loss. All 3 of those were on screen plays. I mean, it was almost as if, number one, he knew the play was coming, and he knew exactly where the play was going. He just blew up those plays. And, you know, when you look at what Jacob Phillips has done in replace of the great Devin White, and then you have a guy like Patrick Queen coming on, even without the services of Michael Divinity, and we all know what Michael can do when he's 100%. This linebacking core, which we knew was going to be good, I mean, you start to see making individual plays like that, and they're going to be the toughest linebacking core in the country. So I was happy to see Patrick have a great, looking forward to him. He's going to need to have it again against Florida, where they're going to try, you know, a little bit of everything on that offense. You know, they're using Kyle Trask. They use P. Ryan in the run game as well as out of the backfield. They'll throw underneath. They'll utilize the tight end. The linebackers are going to be challenged, and I feel pretty good, especially if Divinity gets back to 100% and you've got both Phillips and Queen out there making plays. But he had a sensational game against Utah State.
Yeah, Chris, I know there was a lot made about the missed tackles, and earlier in the year, Grant Delpit was one of the biggest offenders of that. I kind of want your opinion on this because it's something that I thought could be an issue, is the fact that John Battle is no longer back there, his tag team partner, and he's getting used to other safeties back there. Last year when I watched Grant, he always seemed to square the guy up and before the hit, and this year it seems like he's coming at an angle, and he's almost at a bad angle behind him. Do you think maybe it's the adjustment to a new guy back there in the safety position, and maybe he's trying to overcompensate and make sure things are good there before he does his job?
I think so. I think there's some of that. And, you know, again, you kind of forget the 1-2 punch you had back there with Delpit and John Battle. There were games where one would look great, but then when you go back and watch the film, they were great because of what the other was doing to allow them. And they kind of exchanged that game after game after game. So I think there was a little bit of adjustment to do there. But I got to credit this defense, starting with Dave Aranda and really the marching orders from Ed Ogeron. I mean, they said during the off week they did 126 tackling drills just to try to get back to the basics. And a lot of what they talked about was, you know, it wasn't about being in the wrong position. It was about the angle of attack. It was about the footwork going into the tackle and then obviously wrapping up. But Grant did an incredible job. He finished with 3 tackles, had that huge stop on the 4th down that looked like off the edge they were going to be able to get 1.5 yards, maybe 2. And he absolutely crumpled the running back with just a textbook tackle. So, hopefully that's going to be a trend that continues not only for Delpit but for the rest of these Tigers. Because I think just off the top of my head, somewhere maybe 1 totally missed tackle in the game against Utah State compared to 14 against Vanderbilt. So, you know, the talent's there. Delpit obviously is talented. NFL scouts wouldn't be drooling all over him if he didn't. But sometimes getting back to the fundamentals and sometimes understanding, as you pointed out, that you've got to be in a position and can't allow – whether it's Jacoby Stevens, who, by the way, also does a great job back there, but it's different in the way that, you know, Jacoby and Grant work together because of the different skill sets. So I think Grant's kind of finding where he's most effective, and I think if he improves, you know, where his footwork is and his angle of attack, there's no doubt he's going to be a great tackler, and they're going to need not only this week but for the rest of the year.
Well, things have changed in Baton Rouge because it's October and we're talking about Dave Aranda just having to clean some things up on defense, and we're in good shape for the year to come. So, wow, have things changed offensively up in Baton Rouge. Chris, we appreciate your time. Tell the people how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week, man. College game day coming. I think the tailgate is going to start on Thursday, headed into Saturday night with game day being here. We're looking forward to it as finally the Gators have to come back to Baton Rouge. They've had it made for the last 2 years. Now they got to come back here and play under the lights. But you can keep up with us. I'll have all kinds of stuff going on during the week at LSU Tigers Voice. And then later on Thursday, I've got the Hearing Voices podcast coming out. We're going to talk to Lee McGriff, who actually played for the Gators and now is the color analyst on the Gator Radio Network, try to get a little scouting report on what he thinks Florida is going to try to do when they come into the Bayou on Saturday.
Thanks for your time, Chris. We appreciate it, and good luck Saturday. Have another great call. Enjoy listening to you on the radio.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks for having me on. Go Tigers.
Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. Quick update in Major League Baseball. Tampa Bay playing serious today. Top of the fourth. They're leading the Astros. They've extended it 4-1. We'll keep you updated on that score. Quick break. When we come back, Jordan and I are going to talk more about the Saints' huge victory over Tampa Bay yesterday. And we want to recognize 5-11 by Carl Malone, sponsor of the Sports Hangover, was in there today. And I met a gentleman by the name of John Wiggins, who has been a lifelong supporter of 5-11. He told me he has sold on 5-11. He wears nothing but 5-11 for the last 10 years. It's the best quality clothing you can buy. And he told me 5 to 6 pairs of jeans. You will go through 5 to 6 pairs of jeans before you go through one pair of pants. That's 5-11 by Carl Malone, right outside of the gates of Lafreniere Entrance, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. We will be there Friday to do a live show for the Sports Hangover from 12 to 3. So come on by, put the headsets on, give us your take. You get to see some of the best quality clothing in the city. We thank them for their sponsorship. Quick break. When we come back, Jordan and I, more talking about the Saints' big victory on Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their Bright Side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations, so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your work site time and money, which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your work site perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
What would happen to your business if critical files were deleted? Would your company be able to recover if struck by a disaster, a virus, or even a power outage? With our local ETEL Business Data Center's backup and recovery services, your data is safe under any condition. Our 24-hour monitoring and redundant power keeps your systems and data protected in the safest place possible. Get a quote at EATELbusiness.com.
See, very intrigued by the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
I heard the hotel industry is moving away from providing shampoo and soap.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Yeah?
Do not get me started on hotels and the stuff
guys,
that they do.
Right, what they take from me, I feel like I'm entitled to take something from them. Thank you,
the
Billy.
They're going
to
throw away the shampoo. They're going to throw away the soap. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the sheets, and I'm talking about the towels. Oh, we really care about the environment, so please hang up your towels and get out of here. You just don't want to wash these towels, because it's going to cost you money to wash these towels. All right? This whole thing about you're saving the whales or you're saving the turtles or whatever, because I put my towel on a hanger, it is so full of it. All right? You just don't want to give me fresh towels every day. Just call it what it is. Tell me you don't want to give me fresh towels. I'm still going to throw it on the floor. All right? I feel like water is a renewable resource. And you're not really saving the ocean by using water to clean my towel, are you? Am I missing something? What am I missing? Am I missing something?
The end of the story.
The Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Cooler weather is around the corner, and our free AutoZone Loaner Tool program is here to help you get your car in shape for those fall drives. You can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right, all while saving precious time and money. And you can save even more with great deals every day on STP oil, starting at just $16.99 for a 5-quart jug of STP conventional motor oil. Visit us at AutoZone.com and start the job fast. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
31-24 final yesterday. Of course, Tampa Bay got the cheap touchdown at the end, or it would have been 31-17. I don't want to say it was a dominating performance, Jordan, by the Saints, but I was pretty comfortable in the second half that that game was pretty much in control, that Tampa Bay was not going to come back and win that game. The one thing that did kind of concern me a little bit was the lack of production from the receiving core outside of Michael Thomas. Looking at the targets during the game, Michael Thomas had 13 targets, 11 catches for 182 yards, and two of those were for touchdowns. Alvin Kamara was next, 7 targets. He caught 6 of those for 42 yards. Jared Cook, I thought he had his best game, even though he did have a drop. 6 targets, he caught 4 of them for 41, plus he had the touchdown. Josh Hill's 4 targets, 3 receptions, 39 yards. Ted Ginn, 2 targets, 2 receptions, 35 yards, of course, 33-yard touchdown pass when he got behind the defense. And the only other player that got targeted was Latavius Murray. 2 targets, he caught both of them for only 6 yards. His longest reception was for 4 yards. The thing that kind of stood out to me was Tre'Quan Smith. The only really time you noticed him on the field was when Michael Thomas caught a ball across the middle. He was being tackled and going down. You could see he thought about lateraling the ball to Tre'Quan Smith. He thought better of it. I think his knee was down at the time. I think it would have been ruled down. And you saw Austin Carr on the sidelines. We didn't see anything out of him. I don't even remember seeing him on the field. But is this an ongoing issue that you're not getting production from another wide receiver other than Michael Thomas?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's his fault necessarily, because Gus and I talk about this all the time. He's not getting balls thrown his way. So, just like Latavius Murray hasn't been really getting his chance, and Jared Cook hasn't been getting his chance. You saw what Jared Cook could do when the ball was thrown his way. He only had one drop pass, and he did have a touchdown this game, and the game plan was more, they used their weapons more. Sean Payton used his weapons more in this game against the Bucks. So overall, I thought this was Sean Payton's best coaching game of the season, just by using almost virtually everybody that he had on the field, using Taysom Hill a little bit more than he has in the past previous games, using Latavius Murray to run the ball up the middle like Mark Ingram did last year, using your tight end, Jared Cook, like you haven't been in the past game, and getting his first touchdown of the season, getting Ted Ginn a touchdown, his, I want to say, first touchdown of the year for Ted Ginn. Throwing a deep pass from Teddy Bridgewater. I thought it was an overall great game, having Alvin Kamara get his a few of his yards, not as much as last week, but still having the defense have to respect his run, and then just using Michael Thomas as you always use Michael Thomas. I thought this was one of Sean Payton's best play calls of the season.
I did too, and I agree. I really love the fact that they lined Jared Cook up and kind of isolated him and made Tampa declare who's going to guard him. And then they were hitting him on the slants when they needed a 3rd-and-5 pickup and things like that. And I really like that wrinkle that Sean threw in there. But my concern is that maybe Tre'Quan Smith is having trouble getting separation. You saw Ted Ginn got behind the defense for the 33-yard touchdown pass, and Teddy found him. That's my concern with Tre'Quan Smith, is that he's not able to beat the coverage, because you kind of saw Teddy going through his progressions a little bit more yesterday. I think the game, as we just talked with Chris Blair about Joe Burrow, the game slowing down for him, I think the game was a little sped up for Teddy, and I think having the confidence, and I can't emphasize this enough, I thought it was huge that the fans started chanting Teddy's name, because I think you saw more and more confidence coming out in him. And when you have confidence, the game tends to slow down. You have a tendency to go through your progressions a lot better, and you can get more in depth of who's open. My concern is when Tre'Quan Smith didn't even have a ball come his way, that maybe there is some problems with separation there. And that's why I brought up with Sharif Eishak earlier, are the Saints going to go out and address that situation? I get it. It's a salary cap implication with, if you bring in an AJ Green. Sharif brought up the other name that I was interested in, and Emmanuel Sanders from Denver. Although I was kind of expecting Denver to lose to San Diego yesterday, the fact that they win that game, maybe they're not going to have a fire sale as quickly. But I do think the Saints are probably going to be out there looking. You know, they went out and brought in Dez Bryant, and I know Dez Bryant is not coming back this year. There's a reason why people haven't reached out to Dez Bryant and signed him. But I think that maybe they are going to go out there and look at another wide receiver, because you know teams are going to try to take Alvin Kamara, and I think that was Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles' strategy yesterday. Let's take Alvin Kamara out. Let's let him catch the ball, but let's close in on him quick, because you could see there were multiple people, as soon as Kamara was getting the ball, there were multiple people headed that way. They were going to take him out of that game plan, but that's when you needed other guys to step up. I thought Jared Cook did, but my concern is that you're not getting production from other receivers.
I don't think the wide receiver position is as much as a concern as you might think, because, I mean, you have the talent there, and you saw, I mean, four touchdown passes. I mean, those were all to your wide receivers and tight ends. So, I mean, when you're putting up those kind of numbers of four passing touchdowns, I don't think that the wide receiver, I mean, he virtually threw to three wide receivers yesterday, all being different targets who got into the end zone the other day. So I don't think wide receiver is my concern. I think this team is fairly complete. I think it's a solid team, and there's really no worries besides maybe a few players jumping off the line, off the O-line during the game or before the snap even comes off. But, I mean, other than that, I think this team overall is solid, and maybe just clean up a little bit more in your punt returns and your kick returns, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, Devontae Harris, I think, is the odds-on favorite for the who's going to have a seat with coach. And I think that conversation may have already taken place with Sean Payton probably last night. Doubt seriously that waited for this morning. Sports Hangover sponsored by 5-11 Carl Malone, purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. They've got tactical gear, they've got accessories, some of the most comfortable boots in the market. Go over there and check it out. 6601 Veterans Boulevard, right outside the gates of Lafreniere on the other side of the street where Godfather's Pizza used to be located. Stop in there, talk to Steve and the guys. Tremendously friendly staff over there. They'll help you with anything you need. The quality of the clothing over there is unbelievable. It's all outdoors, hiking, outdoors, hunting, fishing. You're looking for work pants, that's the place to go. 5-11 by Carl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two on the flagship station for your New Orleans Pelicans, ESPN New Orleans.
Working with Governor Edwards to solve the budget crisis, we saw how truly bipartisan he is.
He brought members of both parties together to make the hard decisions
that turned a $2 billion deficit into a surplus.
Two-thirds of the Republican-led legislature voted to fund TOPS, save our hospitals, and raise teacher pay.
And Governor Edwards was willing to work with anyone committed to that goal.
He put people over politics.
And Louisiana is in a better place because of his leadership.
I'm Donna Edwards. As a teacher, I believe the best opportunity you can give a child is a good education. That's why John Bell ended years of devastating cuts and is investing in our children's future again. He passed the first teacher pay raise in 10 years, increased funding for K-12 and higher education, and fully funded TOPS. It's a good start, but John Bell won't stop working until every child has the opportunities they need to keep moving Louisiana forward.
Paid for by the John Bell Edwards campaign.
Car shopping? You gotta go to GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store for easy, low, low payments. Upgrade to the all-new 2019 Camry and get $4,500 off MSRP.
That's $4,500 off.
What a truck. Shop today with the biggest rebates of the year on all remaining 2019 Tundras.
Plus, big discounts.
Shop today at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, where everyone gets a great deal. Camry MSRP 37,433. Model 2550. $2,500 rebate. $2,000 discount plus DTNL.
If you're considering buying or selling a home, here's what people are saying about Pat Pennison of Ladder and Bloom Real Estate in Houma. He is responsive to clients' expectations. Pat really understands the market. Pat Pennison can help you develop pricing strategy to maximize earnings. He can also help you navigate through the sales process. Pat Pennison of Ladder and Bloom Real Estate in Houma, there's a name you can trust. Call 985-791-4952. If you're considering buying or selling a home.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking. Served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
If you want results for your advertising dollar, call me, Terry the Tiger Harris, account executive for ESPN Radio 100.3 FM. If you want your business to be top of mind, then invest your advertising dollar on ESPN 100.3 FM. ESPN Radio 100.3 FM covers from Morgan City all the way to New Orleans. Help your bottom line and make your cash register ring. Call me, Terry Harris, ESPN Radio 100.3 FM, 95-859-4744.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Final segment, hour number two, Jay Hargrave in for Gus Kattengill alongside of Jordan the intern, or I haven't called you the professor of awesomeness today, but you've got some game balls over there on Twitter.
Yes, we have a few mentions on our question of the day. Who deserves the game ball, pat on the back, and who needs to have a seat next coach? Corio on Twitter says, game ball, Teddy, Mike Thomas, and Lattimore. Pat on the back, the offensive line and the defensive line. Seat next to coach, Devontae Harris.
I can't argue with any of that. I think Devontae Harris is going to win that. I mean, really, outside of that performance, you had Jared Cook had a couple of drops. I think he had one drop. I take that back. He had one drop. I remember the other play that he was targeted. It was the fade in the end zone, and he actually turned the wrong way when Teddy let him a little bit too much and let him the wrong way, and he kind of turned instead of running through it. But he did have one drop, but I thought it was his best game. You can see, I think the game's starting to slow down for Jared Cook. You heard him in preseason. He was trying to tell everybody, this offense is a lot more complex than what I'm used to in Oakland. And it was going to take him some time. You got to understand that when your starting quarterback, Drew Brees, goes down, that's going to be a setback. And now he's got to get a relationship with another quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. And I think now the game is starting to slow down. He's getting that offense down pat. I thought he took there's no doubt you can't question Jared Cook's toughness, because the shot that he took from, was it Carlton Davis? I want to say he was ejected that was in the first half. That was a violent hit that he took, and I really thought Jared was going to be out for the rest of the game.
I agree that the NFL should fine him, but I don't think he should have been ejected at the game, because because even after the game, you saw Teddy Bridgewater say that he was sorry for throwing that pass.
You do, as a quarterback, you do.
So I feel like that's on the quarterback for throwing that ball, because that's almost like a kill shot. Like you're putting your wide receiver or tight end in a very vulnerable position, almost like a blindside hit. So by that aspect, that's why I feel like he shouldn't have been ejected. But I do agree that he did the lead with the crown of his helmet, but I don't think that he was that it was like the right, he was head hunting. I don't think that he was going after him.
I got to disagree because I thought he did. And you're right. Look, when you throw a pass like that as a quarterback, I guarantee you Jared Cook walked back to the huddle or on the sidelines and said, don't ever do that again. And Teddy said, hey, sorry about that, man. That's my bad. But I thought he launched and hit. I think had he led with the shoulder, he wouldn't have been ejected. But the fact that he led with the head and he hit Jared Cook in the head, I can't emphasize how tough Jared Cook has to be that he didn't get a concussion on that play, because that's the exact play that the NFL is trying to remove from the game. I don't know if you saw Mason Rudolph, the quarterback of the Steelers yesterday. I mean, that kid could hardly stand up, and I didn't think that shot that he took was as intentional as it was with Carlton Davis. I know Bruce Arians agreed with you because he said that was horribly officiated game and he was complaining about the officiating, but I thought it was a good call. And I the one call I could have maybe questioned was the fumble.
Yeah. And that even though I'm more for the Saints, that kind of aggravated me just like as a football fan, because I want to see the consistency of the game, because sorry about that. If you watch the replay, the Tampa Bay guy obviously landed on the football, even though you couldn't see conclusively that they recovered the football. It was obvious that Tampa Bay come out with the ball. How many times do you see there's a huddle and the guy that comes out with the ball,
It usually changes hands twice.
It always points to the direction whoever comes out the huddle with the ball. And Tampa Bay came out the huddle with the ball. And so I could definitely understand why Bruce Arians was frustrated after challenging that call and getting charged with a timeout, that the ball was fumbled, but they didn't see who recovered the football. I feel like at that point you should have seen who came out with the ball in the huddle.
But the difference there is that the whistle was blown, and when the whistle is blown, people stop. So at that point, they have to see a clear recovery. And I think what saved the Saints, and I know what saved the Saints, was I believe Devontae Harris dove in with both hands, and his hands were near the ball when the Tampa Bay player fell on it.
The ball slipped out and went.
It slipped out. And another Saint, I think it was JT Gray, I think, dove into the pile. And I think it was Moose Johnson doing the game even brought it up that it was a smart play to dive in there because it put the question mark in the official's head. I agree with you. I think there's no doubt that Tampa recovered the fumble. But by the letter of the law, and this is, again, the way the NFL does things, I can't criticize them enough. You saw a couple of calls yesterday in other games where it's questionable, but we're going to let it go because in case the touchdown's going to be scored, we don't want to do to this team what we did to the Saints against the Rams. But then it puts that team at a difficulty because now we need to see clear and concise evidence that it happened instead of saying, use your best judgment to decide who would have recovered the football. By the letter of the law, I think they got the call right. I agree with you. I think Tampa Bay would have come up with that ball had the officials not blown the whistle too quick. But here we go again, the clown show with the NFL.
And plus, it really didn't even matter because two plays later, Alvin Kamara kind of juggles a Teddy Bridgewater pass and it gets picked off. So, I mean, there was no really harm done.
Right, Saints scored.
Besides Tampa Bay losing a timeout off the challenge.
Right, and it wouldn't have been like the Saints scored a touchdown and that changed the complexion of the game. So you're right, it didn't. For Bruce Arians to try to portray the officials as the reason why Tampa Bay lost, you know, it wasn't the case.
As I'm on their side, just like everyone else says to us, get over it.
Yeah, exactly, because that's all we hear about the officials. Oh, get over it. But when it happens to somebody else, oh, my God, it's the worst thing that has ever happened. All right, that wraps up hour number two of the Sports Hangover. When we come back, we are going to open up the phone lines for you guys. 800-998-1003 if you want to give us your game ball, who gets a pat on the back, and who has to have a seat with Coach. I think the consensus pick is Devontae Harris has got to have a seat with Coach and try to figure out how we're going to get his confidence back, because he's going to play a vital role in the Saints' playoff run later in the year. Hour number two, we want to thank our sponsor, 511 by Carl Malone. Purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. We will be there Friday for a live remote of the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill from 12 to 3 this coming Friday. They will have a sale. 511 Carl Malone has a sale going on. I'll get the details and we'll get that to you later in the week.